The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. It is on page 93 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Allow me to read the words of God. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" Amen. There's a book titled Answered Prayers for Even What You Did Not Ask For. The book is written by a pastor who had left church when he was young because he couldn't believe that God exists. However, he was worn out by the futility of life, and he explored different religions to overcome this. He followed Buddhist teachings for 10 years and even took on the role of Buddhist youth group leader. The book explains the prayer group of Buddhists. The group starts with the teachings of a monk, and the content usually consists of answered prayers of Buddhist believers. For example, a lady who prayed earnestly in front of the Buddha statue in the main temple saw the large statue move and smile. After that, her prayer was answered and everything worked out well. Afterwards, the monk leads and calls upon the Buddhist goddess of mercy, or Gautama Buddha. Then people follow and chime in to pray. Repeating one word may be simple and boring, but when many people join to pray, then the sound becomes like a grand chorus. Moreover, they also set a rhythm using a big drum, and if you listen to the sound for some time, then the beating sound of the drum also resonates in your heart. The greatest festival for Buddhists is Buddha's birthday. The greatest number of believers visit temples and buy lamps to hang around the temple. The price of the lamp varies according to the size of the lamp, and the location of where it's hung also differs accordingly. The origin of this ritual was to signify that the mercy of Buddha was spread throughout the world and lighten up the darkness as lamps do. And it was also based on pure religious hope that each believer would also reach nirvana like Gautama Buddha, so that they can put an end to the wheel of life. However, nowadays people usually wish for their own desires, so such as passing exams, promotion, success, and marriages. And a year later, people will share how their prayers were answered since last year. They will share how lighting up lamps with prayers attached led to answered prayers. Then, believers that had remained calm are influenced by such sharing, and they also lift up large lamps, hoping that it would work. Externally, Buddhist prayer groups and Christian prayer groups do not seem to be so different. Worshipping at a retreat-like place is similar. The difference may seem to be whether the subject of prayer is Buddha or God. Prayers are also answered not just in Christianity and Buddhism, but in Islam and Hinduism. They're also answered in even shamanism. However, while there are transcendent aspects, such as answered prayers and miracles in Christianity is not a religion of transcendence, but one of revelation. As we learned in the Mature Believers class, the Apostles' Creed, which we confess at every Sunday service, does not include a confession about the miracles performed by Jesus. How awesome is the miracle of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which were used to feed 5,000 men, which is an underestimate since it doesn't count women and children. People were so shocked by this feat. So didn't they want to take Jesus as their king? However, the Apostles' Creed does not include a confession about this miracle. It is because this is not the essence of faith. So, a transcendent event may happen to Christians, but it is not the objective of their faith. It is more important to deliver the word through such event. A proper faith is less about miracles. Rather, it is about a proper interpretation of miracles. And a proper interpretation is possible only through the Word of God. Jesus was baptized at the Jordan and fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. He was tested by the devil and then began his public ministry. Then, Jesus did not perform a miracle, but proclaimed the word. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. The news that Jesus is spreading the word of God in Galilee spread throughout. The Bible uses different words to indicate news in a couple of scriptures. In Luke chapter 4, verse 37, Jesus heals a man possessed by a demon, and the news spread throughout the surrounding area. The news here means echo, to indicate that the story about Jesus spread in such manner. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, Jesus heals a man with leprosy, and the news about him spread all the more. The news here indicates the word. Jesus healed the man with leprosy, told him to tell no one, show his body to the priest, and offer sacrifices for cleansing. So the verse indicates that the word of Jesus spread throughout. The news in today's text indicates fame, which is derived from the Greek word fame. In the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he worked in North Galilee, not in South Judah. So religious leaders, such as high priests, Pharisees, and teachers of the law, did not know Jesus well. So they did not have a clear cause to oppose or prevent his ministry. Thus, Jesus' words and deeds were spread by word of mouth, and his name was praised high. Jesus began his ministry in Galilee and went to synagogues and in his home in Nazareth. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. At the time, the worship at the synagogue consisted of three parts. Part one was prayer. The worship leader and the audience prayed by responding to each other and recited prayers. Part two was recitation. The Pentateuch was the most important commandment, so it was split into 154 parts, and they recited one each week. So in 3 years, they could cover the entire Pentateuch. After they recited the Pentateuch, the synagogue leader selected a part from the prophets to read. Part three consisted of the message or an interpretation of the Torah. The synagogue leader or a guest delivered this part. When Jews did not receive the word of God, Apostle Paul confessed that he will reach out to the Gentiles instead. Nevertheless, whenever he visited a new city, Paul checked to see whether there was a synagogue where Jews worshipped. During a worship at the synagogue, Gentiles who are interested in Judaism sat at the back. So whenever Paul was given the opportunity to interpret the word, he used this opportunity to deliver the gospel to them. Jesus read the word of Isaiah at the synagogue of his hometown, Nazareth. It's on verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We learned last week that the poor signifies prisoners, blind, and oppressed, and they are those who cannot escape by themselves, regain sight, or escape from oppression without external help or strength. There's no other scripture that better encapsulates the work of Jesus and the salvation we have received. We did not fast 40 days, nor pray day and night for many years, nor months for our salvation. Even if we had done so, we cannot earn our salvation. We were chained by our sins and faults, blinded by our desires and worldly values, and oppressed by hatred and envy. Nevertheless, God did not ignore us. Instead, He visited us countless times in mysterious ways to guide us and proclaim the year of God's favor so that we can stand as children of God where we are. Among us, no one is worshiping today because of our goodness, intelligence, or spiritual faith. It is entirely through the endless love and grace of God. When Jesus read out this word and delivered his message, it was the same for the people of Galilee as it were to us. They had always been harassed by external enemies due to geopolitical reasons. They were also regarded as foreigners, even though they are Jews. They were living through darkness, walking through the valley of death. So the words of Isaiah that Jesus delivered to them were the gospel itself. So when Jesus delivered his message, if people of Galilee received it as the word of God, then they would have been at awe, realizing that God does not forsake us. He loves us, and we are surely children of God. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus returned the scroll to the attendant, and everyone at the synagogue watched Jesus. The literal meaning used here means that their eyes were fixed on Jesus. The same word in Chinese characters is a combination of to water something and eyes. When we pour water, oil, or honey into a jar with a small opening, then we focus on the entry point with our eyes. We pay attention to check whether we are pouring too much content at once, which could lead to spilling it on the floor. We also check to make sure that we are not aiming at the wrong point, which could make water to flow on the side of the jar. We also check to see that the right amount has been filled so that there is no leftover. Like so, people fix their eyes on Jesus. Granting freedom to the prisoners, sight to the blind, and freedom from oppression were all works of Christ. Normal people could not regain sight, and only Christ could do so. Jesus proclaimed that the word delivered 700 years ago was finally accomplished through him. A person is limited by time, space, intelligence, and capacity, so one may not remember a promise made 700 years ago. However, God transcends time and space, and He is eternal. So God delivers on His promise at His time, in His way. When Israelites were suffering from intense labor in Egypt, they cried out to God. So God called Moses from the wilderness of Midian and led the Israelites out of Egypt through Moses. However, cries of Israelites were not the only reason why God had led them out. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, it says, God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. God not only heard the cries of Israelites, but He also remembered the covenant He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He stayed true to the promise to give Canaan to his descendants as eternal inheritance, and that God will be their God. He did not forget the fact that God has made that promise before. Rather, it was always on his mind, but the promise was delivered when the timing was ripe. So the time between the promise with Jacob and Exodus was at least 400 years, and the time gap between the promise with Abraham and Exodus was at least 600 years. No one from the time when Abraham and God made the covenant would be alive. Israelites would not have remembered that God had made such a promise with their ancestors. And yet God keeps His promise at His time, in His way. The response of those who heard Jesus' message at the synagogue in Nazareth is depicted in verse 22. All spoke well of Him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from His lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. People were amazed by what Jesus spoke about. The Greek word for amazed is thaumazo. This verb is used to express the response when one witnesses an event that is beyond their thoughts. For example, when shepherds in the field heard from angels that the Savior is born. When people saw Jesus condemning a demon to come out. When Jesus restored the vision of a blind man. When disciples spoke in tongues after the Holy Spirit came down to them during the Pentecost. The same word was used. When Jesus delivered His message at the synagogue in Nazareth, people were shocked as those who heard the voice of angels and those who saw Jesus condemning a demon give vision to a blind man, and disciples who were lowly educated speak in tongues that they did not know before. The word of Jesus struck them because these words were those of grace. Grace has three meanings. One is to receive without payment. If you receive something in return, then it is a trade. If we have to pay a price to what God gave us, who could afford it? What is the price of sunlight, which provides warmth and light for organisms to live? How much do we need to pay for air that we breathe every moment? What is the price of Earth, the only habitable planet that we can live in? What is the value of life on Earth? We receive all this without paying a price because we do not have the capacity to pay for it. It has been given freely to us. The second meaning of grace is to receive something good. Even if we receive something without paying, if it is worthless or harmful, then it's better to not receive it. If God grants us something good, then it also means that we do not have the capacity to distinguish what is good. The best thing that God gives to us is Himself, eternal life. Before God granted us eternal life, no one ever asked God for it. The fact that we know how precious eternal life is, that we are beings that ask God for it, eternal life, means that God has already given it to us. The third meaning is to receive it by kindness. Even though we do not deserve it, God shows favor to us and grants it to us. In Amos chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth." The fact that God chose Israelites means that they are special. For example, when a man confesses love to a woman, "You are the only woman in my life. You are the only woman I know." He does not mean that he does not have a mother, sister, or went to K-12 schools with only guys, and that he works at a company with only guys. Rather, he means, "You are special to me," like that. You are the only one. It also does not mean that she is pretty like an actress, nor has all the good attributes, intelligence, good character, and talent. Some people may even shake their heads. Regardless, to him, there is no other person to love except for her. Like so, God chose Israelites not because they deserved it. They were small in number, stubborn, and corrupt. Yet God showed favor to them. It is the same for us. Even though we are no better, God showed favor to us. So even though there are more kind-hearted, intelligent, and capable people than us, that are living without eternal hope of Christ. We are living through the grace of God. Father God existed as the Word from the beginning. This Word came flesh to this earth. The devil tested Jesus, who had been fasting for 40 days, to turn stone into bread, asked Jesus to bow down before him for entire kingdoms, and also jump down from the top of the temple. The devil was tempting Jesus to prove that he is Christ by performing a miracle. However, Jesus conquered all temptations through the Word of God. Then he began his public ministry in Galilee by reading and interpreting the Word at the synagogue in Nazareth. This Word was the Word of grace, the Word of salvation and life. So the Word of God is always more important than miracles. Even if an indescribable miracle happens to me, it cannot be compared to a simple single verse of the Bible. A miracle happens to a limited number of people, but the Word of God is the eternal Word and gracious words granted to all generations and all peoples. God uses the Word of God for us to grow as the children of God. The book of Psalm testifies about the life of Joseph, Jacob's 11th son, as the following in Psalm chapter 105, verses 16 to 19. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Joseph was sold to Egypt when he was 17 due to his brother's jealousy. And at the age of 30, he became the prime minister of Egypt, a powerful country at the time. The time period of 13 years in between were spent in imprisonment and slavery, which were times of darkness, walking through an endless tunnel, passing through valleys of endless tears. If there is a young man who thinks that he comes from the lowest class and that his life has no hope, and you promise him that he will become great, perhaps even the prime minister of Korea, then he will try to endure difficulties in life. However, if you ask the question, how long do I need to endure this hopeless life? Then it will be difficult to seek God without wavering every day. In reality, Joseph's slavery was like so. There was no way for him to overcome his status as a slave. And yet Joseph still sought out God during slavery. Then what was waiting for him was not a life as a free man. Rather, he had to go to prison. Finally, Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh and became the prime minister of Egypt, a powerful country at the time. The dream that Pharaoh had was that there will be 7 years of abundant harvest and 7 years of drought. So someone with wisdom and intelligence had to set up plans to prepare Egypt for such natural disaster in advance. And then Joseph was chosen to be that person. Joseph met his family at the second year of the drought, 22 years after they had been separated. The psalm describes Joseph's time as a slave and as a prisoner as when his feet were in shackles and his neck put in irons. In the Bible, the feet is used to signify strength. And his feet were shackled. In the Korean folktale, Chunhyangjeon, Chunhyang refuses the village official's request to be his mistress, and she is imprisoned with her neck in irons. If her feet is shackled, then she cannot move her feet. So there is nothing she can do in her power. Joseph's neck was also put in irons. The word used for neck here is also used to describe life or spirit. And the word put in also indicates to enter and leave. So this phrase also means that Joseph's life or spirit has been stabbed with an iron. Joseph's situation was similar to the fish being poked with an iron stick, grasping for life. Such life continued day by day until the word of the Lord proved them true. God did not allow his brothers to sell Joseph because he was disinterested. God did not let him work as a slave at Potiphar's house because God is incapable. God did not let him stay in prison because God gave up on Joseph. God wanted to accomplish something through Joseph. Because Joseph faithfully lived out his life, Jacob's family could later live in Egypt, and the number increased to the point that they had to escape from Egypt. So the history of Exodus began because of one person, Joseph. The Bible says that the word of God trained Joseph. Beloved members, is your everyday as if you're walking through a tunnel without an exit? Is your life consisted of a valley of tears where the road of Zion is nowhere to be found? God is waiting for the gracious words of God to be answered in our lives. This word will train us for our salvation to mature and for our families and communities to experience Exodus. When we lift up our eyes to seek God only, then God will carry through. There is no better life than becoming the channel to deliver the word of God. Let us pray. If we look back upon our journey of faith, we confess that the word of God protected us and helped us to mature. We prayed for God to perform a miracle in our lives, but it was not the miracle that changed us. It was the word we read and reflect on. It was the sermon we heard every day, every Sunday, and the word we shared with church members in district Bible study groups. and the word that resonated in our hearts to transform us. It was not easy for Joseph to wait for the word of God to be actualized, but his wait became the starting point of God's history. We hope that the gracious word of God which came to us will be proven true in our lives and accomplish your will on this earth. When we fail to understand the word, please kindly explain it for us to understand. If we fail to remember the word, please repeat it for us to be reawakened. Even if we are foolish and cannot remember, may we never forget that the word of God granted to us is the word of grace. So may the confession, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path," become our confession as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.